So last Sunday was a special day, right? And you know what it was? You remember? Easter. And so the Easter Bunny only comes once a year, and there won't be another Easter egg hunt for a while. But we're actually still celebrating Easter. We celebrate it for 50 days, so we're still celebrating Easter today. So the lesson we heard today kind of follows, it continues the story we heard last week, okay? And I'll remind y'all what we've heard so far. So on Good Friday, Jesus died, and a good man took his body and put it in a tomb, and they rolled a huge stone across the entrance to the tomb. And before he died, Jesus tried to explain to his friends, and they often didn't understand what he was telling them, but he tried to explain to them that dying would be the end for him, that he would come back. And by the way, I have a lot of important stuff to tell y'all. I know Nancy does this without notes, but I hope you'll forgive me for if I refer to my notes. So he had told them the meaning of his death, and that he was going to defeat death, and that he would come back, but they didn't understand. And I'm sure sometimes you explain something, you try to explain something to your parents or to your friends, and they don't understand you, and that's kind of frustrating. And I figure Jesus was probably a little frustrated sometimes with his friends because they didn't understand him. So on Easter morning, we heard this story last week. Mary Magdalene and a couple of other women friends of Jesus, they go to the tomb, and they think he's going to be dead. You know, they bring spices to put on his body. That's something people used to do 2,000 years ago to show respect for a body. So they brought spices with them. They're expecting him to still be in the tomb. They get there, and the stone has been rolled away. And, of course, immediately they're confused. They're a little bit scared. They look inside, and there's a young man dressed in white. You remember that? He's a messenger from God. Jesus' body is not there. But they see the young man inside. He tells them that Jesus has risen and that they will see him again. So our gospel lesson today picks up that same day, actually on the evening of that first day. Okay, so the disciples or Jesus' friends, they've locked themselves in a room. They're scared. They're confused. They don't know what's going on. They don't know why Jesus left them. They're afraid that somebody might try to hurt them the same way that Jesus got hurt. So they're locked together in the room, except for one, Thomas, and I'll come back to him. So they're confused. They don't know what's going to happen next. And then suddenly Jesus is in the room with them, okay? Their confusion and fear turns into joy and happiness. They can't get over the fact that they're seeing him again. And he gives them a gift. He gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit and tells them, you know, that will always be with them. But one of Jesus' best friends, Thomas, is not there. We're not told why he wasn't there. I don't know if he went out to get something to eat. I don't know if he just was upset, needed to take a walk and spend some time by himself. I'm sure that happens sometimes when you're upset. You want to spend time by yourself. You don't necessarily want to be around all your friends. In any event, Thomas isn't there, and by the time he gets back, Jesus is gone. So how do you think Thomas felt? Probably kind of left out, right? And upset. And so how does he react? Well, he tells his friends, I don't believe what you're telling me. I don't know if that's sincere. I don't know if he's just angry, disappointed, feels hurt that Jesus didn't wait around for him, whatever. But he tells his friends, I don't believe you. Unless I see it myself, I don't believe you. So a week goes by, and they're in that same room. I think some of the joy, some of the reassurance is kind of worn off. I think they're probably feeling a little bit confused and uncertain again. And And then Jesus appears in the room again. He comes back to see them. And this time, Thomas is there. And I imagine he felt a little embarrassed at the way he had reacted the week before. Jesus is there. They're overjoyed. And Jesus allows Thomas to touch him. And Jesus, I think one of the meanings of the story is Jesus loved Thomas so much that he didn't want Thomas to be left out. He wanted Thomas to have the same experience as the others. And he wanted to remind all his friends how much he loved them and how much he loved the entire world, and showed, again, the injuries, the scars, the marks from his death. So he leaves again, and he'll visit his friends in various places in Galilee and elsewhere a few more times, and then he goes back up to heaven. So what happens after Jesus leaves? It becomes his friends' job to spread his message. And they called that good news. And it's good news for people who are sad that they're going to be comforted. It's good news to people who are feeling pain that God feels their pain with them. And it's good news of love that God loves all of us without exception, and that we should love everyone else the way God loves us. So, 2,000 years is a long time. We're not sure exactly what happened to Thomas. People in India say that he went there. There are churches in India. You can visit a church that is said to mark the place where Thomas is buried. And that was a really long way to go 2,000 years ago, right? They didn't have airplanes back then. So Thomas went all the way to India to share that good news with the people over there. And you don't have to go that far. Nobody expects you to get on an airplane to share the good news. You can do that right here in your family, your school, and in your community here. So since I've talked about Thomas and how far away he went to spread the message, I'd like to close with a prayer. This is from the Episcopal Church's mission office. And let us pray. O gracious and loving God, you work everywhere, reconciling, loving, and healing your people and your creation. In your Son and through the power of your Holy Spirit, you invite each of us to join you in your work. We, young and old, lay and ordained, ask you to form us more and more in your image and likeness through our prayer and worship of you and through the study of your Scripture, that our eyes will be fully open to your mission in the world. Then, God, into our communities, our nation, and the world, send us to serve with Christ, taking risks to give life and hope to all people and all of your creation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.